I want to track out some other new research developments. I spoke with John Mackey for this program about the adjuvant trastuzumab trials. I'm not going to go into that too much, and adjuvant aromatase inhibitors. But I think certainly one other major story in terms of breast cancer clinical research in the last year has been the bevacizumab trial that was reported at the last ASCO meeting. Can you kind of go through where we are right now with bevacizumab or Avastin in breast cancer?
Well, I think we should start with a minute on what bevacizumab is and what it does. It's a monoclonal antibody. It's humanized. And its target is a distinct one from what most of us are used to thinking about in cancer medicine. The target of Herceptin, in contrast, is a receptor that lives on the surface of the cancer cell. The target of bevacizumab is not directly any receptor. The target of bevacizumab is the stimulus, the VEGF itself, that's vascular endothelial growth factor, that circulates in the blood. And so when you give bevacizumab, you're removing from the circulation to a large degree a stimulus that would ordinarily bind to the VEGF receptor and then cause a VEGF receptor to stimulate new blood vessel formation. So that's one thing that's different about it. And actually, that's an important point because it explains why this drug already is obviously not tumor-specific. It has activity in a range of solid tumors, and that's because all of these tumors are dependent on new blood vessel formation, and none of them have to express themselves a specific target for this drug to be useful. So that's bevacizumab. Now, bevacizumab is actually very active in colon cancer and lung cancer and ovary cancer. In breast cancer, there was the expectation that it would as well be active, and I think against that previous expectation, many people were a little bit disappointed when the first randomized trial testing bevacizumab added to chemotherapy, in this case capecitabine, showed a less than stellar result. What really happened here is that they took salvage setting patients, that is patients with extensive prior therapy, and they placed them appropriately on capecitabine, and they randomized them to get bevacizumab or not. And in that trial, there was actually an increase in activity for the combination compared to the single agent, but it didn't make the landmarks that would have defined it as a positive trial. So
there were more responses.
There were. So when you looked at it from a drug approval perspective, it was a negative study. When you looked at it from a biological perspective, you could in no way conclude that it was negative. You knew that there was a signal there of something. So based upon that, or at least I should say complementing that, there was an upfront trial, which Kathy Miller ran for ECOG, and in fact she also was the PI of the capecitabine trial. And this trial, ECOG 2100, took patients who were getting first-line chemotherapy for stage 4 breast cancer using paclitaxel. And in this randomized trial, the same signals that were seen to a lesser degree in the capecitabine trial were seen in an amplified fashion. There was a doubling, essentially, of response rate. There was about a doubling, even a little more than that, of progression-free interval. And when it was first reported, there was a statistically significant overall survival advantage. Interestingly enough, they were very conservative in their first report on that overall survival advantage. And indeed, at a formal update presented at this year's San Antonio conference, the overall survival advantage, while graphically looking to be about the same, actually no longer had statistical significance. And I frankly would not make a whole lot out of that. I think that that reflects the vagaries of subsequent lines of therapy and the unfolding nature of the data. I would be surprised in the end if there wasn't a small overall survival advantage for the drug.